And now for our feature presentation, Tom Hanks Defense Force, with your hosts, Alex Halpern and Jack Fryer, a podcast for people who love film, television, and Tom Hanks.
Hello and welcome back to Tom Hanks Defense Force in a very special episode, which is why, Jack?
It's our 50th episode. Well, 50th released episodes, not counting the lost episodes or the ones we cancelled or we burnt because they were just too, like, awful, unprofessional, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. There's like an anti-Tom Hanks Defense Force episode in there somewhere.
Or, Chet Hanks Defense Force.
Yeah. It's like 50 years of Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. No, sadly, we have not been going on for that long yet. Although Jack and I will have white hair and we'll be, you know, in some retirement home escaping to go to heavy metal festivals before we know it. Then it'll be at least 50 years of Tom Hanks Defense Force for you lucky listeners. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm really good, actually. I've just recovered from a cold, so I've been drugged up on, like, day nurse and night nurse and midnight nurse and 2 a.m. nurse and...
All the nurses.
All the nurses, yeah. Florence Nightingale's tears.
Exactly, yeah. The nursing streaming service, which Jack's been consuming away.
Yes.
And, yeah, so 50 episodes. It's been a hell of a journey so far.
Yes, it's weird looking back. You know, we did our first episode recorded in my old flat in Rochester, and now I've got a house. So it's just moved up in the world, basically.
How time has flied.
It made me think of this quote from Matt Lucas and David Walliams. They were talking in an interview about a Little Britain retrospective. And in the first series, when they were writing it together, they used to share a bag of Revels. But by the third series, they were sharing Ferrero Rocher, just to show how much that they've grown. Grown.
Amazing.
Like how wealthier they've got.
Yeah, it's what you can afford. It's a symbol of growth. Yeah, which, I mean, I don't know. Do we have something like that here? This is your kitchen for amazing concoctions and snacks, so...
I don't know. Like, I think we used to just go for... I think, for me, I'm trying to save. So, we sometimes just have, like, a small... Like, just one small glass of Coke, and I think it's an ounce of a pint glass of Coke, so moving on.
Exactly. This is, this Guinness was half the size originally, but just economical
changes. It was just called Gin.
Amazing.
But yeah, like, so today because one of our biggest criticisms is for a podcast called Tom Hanks Defense Force, we've never actually done a Tom Hanks episode. Like, he's name dropped more or less every episode, of course, because he's in the title.
We can't escape it.
He's more or less just obviously always present, but we haven't actually done a whole Tom Hanks retrospect. Like, he's been in a mystery pitch, like, we've cast him, we've talked about him, like, who would play, but no, this is the first actual Tom Hanks episode.
Exactly. And this is the thing, everyone we introduce the podcast to, every time we say, oh, we run a podcast called Tom Hanks Defense Force, everyone, at least for me, always asks, is it about Tom Hanks? Is Tom Hanks the subject of every episode, and you just discuss and analyze varying elements of Tom Hanks' life and work?
Because I found out there's a podcast, it's called Denzel Washington is the Greatest Actor in the World, where it's a Denzel Washington podcast, where they just talk about all his different films for each episode.
Yeah, we don't do that.
But no, we haven't done that. Like, just go through Tom Hanks' whole... cinematography. So today we're talking about his cameo in Borat 2. So like a whole hour to that one cameo.
Yeah, there's a great podcast called, I think it's a Minute of the Rings, or I'll find out the exact name and post on social media, possibly. But it's this couple who watch The Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, the original trilogy, and each episode is dedicated to analysing 1 minute.
Wow.
Yeah, so the first episode is just the opening titles. So they're analysing, like, the new Line Cinema appearance and, and Wingnut Films. But, yeah, so we thought, okay, well, 50 episodes in, we might as well have that episode. Not the Lord of the Rings one, but an actual Tom Hanks episode.
Yeah.
Where we discuss...
Tom Hanks. In preparation for this podcast, I did watch Tom Hanks' greatest performance, which is, of course, his appearance in Carly Rae Jepsen's I Really Like Your Music video. And one of the top comments was, I can imagine Tom Hanks' day-to-day work just being like the video, just high-fiving people, taking selfies and like shaking hands and just... I couldn't actually just see that. Him just getting out of bed one morning and just like opening his door and just a line of people wanting to shake his hand. He just shakes all of them.
And
just...
That's what like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and everyone's aspiring to, really.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's Elon Musk believes that by buying Twitter, this is what he will achieve. Everyone on Twitter will high-five him, virtually.
And like Jeff Bezos is walking and high-fiving all the ununionized workers.
It's, exactly.
So I think the most important question, I think, to start off with is... What is your favourite Tom Hanks role? Like, if you someone was to put like a gun to your head and say, what is your best Tom Hanks role, what would you say it is?
Ooh, a great question, and one I anticipated. I'm going to say an unconventional one.
Okay.
I mean, well, there are roles that, I mean, I like them in every role. I think he's magnificent yeah. in Sully, in Saving Private Ryan, in you name it. But the performance I'm choosing is Cloud Atlas.
Ooh!
One of my favourite films, actually, and I introduced it to my brother, who said it was also... he also really, really admired it. It's... Yeah, I mean, it's a phenomenal film, not only in its ambition, but also in its visual direction, its plot technicality. There are so many magnificent elements to that film. But you really see Tom playing... everyone from this, you know, this very simple, kind of a down-to-earth man in the future, you know, a humble, I guess, peasant in this kind of post-apocalyptic society. You know, everything is back into this kind of tribal feudal system. But you also see him as this brilliant nuclear physicist. You see him as this, you know, in a random role where he's this kind of rather... a scheming landlord.
Okay.
You see him in all these different roles. Have you seen Cloud
Atlas? No, I've not. That's one of the rare Tom Hanks performances I've not seen, because in lockdown, like 2 years ago now, wow, I watched Catch Me If You Can for the first time. And when I posted that on social media, most of the comments were, you're kidding, you've never seen Catch Me If You Can. Because it's just one of those like films that just slips through. Everyone's got like an iconic, famous film that's like slipped through their fingers that they've never seen. And like
probably loads. Most people probably have a number.
I know, because someone, my friend said to me, you've seen Halloween Kills. No, so you've seen Halloween 4 twice, but you've never seen The Godfather 2. What is wrong with you?
You've seen The Human Centipede 300 times, but you've never seen Forrest Gump.
When I turn on my phone, it just starts playing.
Oh, I mean, Cloud Atlas is brilliant. You see Hugh Grant as this cannibal warlord. I mean, so welcome to Hugh Grant Defence
Force. It's just
Force.
A bit of a weird one because... You know, it's one of those... I know it's a very long film, and I think in a way that's, in some way, what's put me off, because The Irishman, I put it off for a long time, just because I wanted a good 4 hours to sit down and watch it in full. So it's just... I think for me, the length is one of the reasons, even though I watch a lot of long films, I think for me, length is one of the factors that's putting me off, but...
It's a factor for a number of people, yeah, it always has been. But I would 100% recommend it. You see his diversity...
Oh, of course.
You know, and really outside of the Tom Hanks public image diversity, that you don't really see in any of his other performances, I believe, because there are so many performances crammed into those 3 hours.
I just think... Tom Hanks, in a way, for me, is one of the ultimate everyman actor. He's the modern-day James Stewart. He's played, like, a gangster in Road to Perdition. He's played a lawyer dying of AIDS in Philadelphia. He's played an army captain. He's played a heroic pilot. He's voiced an iconic cowboy who's got his own dynamic range. Buzz, I'm gonna go really berserk! And it's just... He's played himself. He's just... He's done... His range is incredible. He can make... you cry over a volleyball. Because I watched Castaway again recently, and like I watched it before lockdown, but watching it again in a post-lockdown world, it adds another depth to that film. Obviously, and I know obviously the film didn't predict coronavirus, of course, but I feel in a way, you know, watching it, like you can really feel the isolation of a character a lot more.
I've actually never seen Castaway.
Oh, okay.
I feel like for a Tom Hanks podcast, we're the two of us that need to catch up on our Tom Hanks films.
I know. I think we need to have a dedicated like Tom Hanks day where we just tick them all with a list. Because one of the ones in preparation for this episode I did watch was The Burbs. It's a black comedy episode. Obviously, it's been parodied a lot. So in a way, I kind of knew what was happening because it's been parodied so many times.
Mm.
But I do just find that... like, in that, Tom Hanks, again, is an everyman, but he's just a neighbour who's just taking a week off work, and obviously, in his week off work, you know, something just bad just happens, and it's just a dark comedy where they think the neighbours are killing somebody. Is there an alternate explanation, or isn't there? So it's just...
Interesting.
And it's just the thing is that, like, you can see him, you know, in these roles, again, it's just a normal... You know, he's a lot younger in this one, but... Mm-hmm. 'Cause it was 80s, but you can see, like, the seeds... from where his career was sown. You know, just the everyday man stuck in a ridiculous situation, you know, like a horrible situation, you know, as you can say in when he plays Saving Private Ryan, where he plays the teacher who becomes an army captain, or, you know, in Captain Sully, where he's a pilot who's got to commit to a miraculous miracle landing, which is an underrated film, I think, in terms of the Hanks cinematography.
Which is a huge part of the Hollywood standard story.
Yeah.
It's very Spielbergian. The, yeah, like you were saying, the everyman who is thrust into the dangers of the world, who has no control of the situations that happen to them. The only thing they can control is how they react to them. You know, almost quite a stoic approach to dealing with the world. And I think Saving Private Ryan is a brilliant example of that, of how he becomes this army captain, because he has no other choice. You know, America and the free world is threatened by fascism. And so, of course, a teacher must step up to the mark and face this world of horror in the front lines of war, that, you know, and where he's learning everything everything as it happens to him. Everything is learned through experience. I think that's such an important value in American life, or in just in Western world life in general.
I think the fact that he's a man you can relate to, Tom Hanks, I think in screen he really I think that's why, because I looked at his Wikipedia page, and one of the first lines of his Wikipedia, the second line is, known for both his comedic and dramatic roles, he is one of the most popular and recognisable film stars worldwide, and is regarded as an American culture icon. You know, he is, you know, he is known as America's dad in a way. He's like the uncle everyone wishes they had. Because, you know, there's so many good stories about him, because during the whole Me Too thing, there was a parody article which ran with a headline, Tom Hanks accused of being nice by co-worker.
Yeah.
And there's like whole website articles dedicated to multiple people just sharing their stories of just him being just a lovely, nice man. Like, the one time he found his bookstore was closing down and he went down to the store to try and help raise funds for it. And
incredible.
There's a story of somebody meeting, like, knowing Ron Howard, and Tom Hanks was walking up to him in the Apollo 13 spacesuit and shaking his hand. He said, I got to shake Tom Hanks's hand in the Apollo 13 spacesuit. Like, what an absolute, like, incredible story. And, you know, on the Toy Story premiere, he always goes up and hugs all the Woody mascots and says thank you. Just, it's just, you know, every man stuck in a difficult situation, but we've can't had him resolve, survives it. So, I just...
Absolutely.
You know, he's just... Tom Hanks, do you think that he is truly the best everyman actor of all time, as some people say? Is he the natural apprentice to James Stewart, or has he become his own thing that James Stewart wasn't?
Well, I feel like, I mean, there are a number of big everyman characters that all bring their own unique approaches to them. I think maybe to an extent, I mean, Brad Pitt kind of had that period.
Yeah.
But he's... But Brad Pitt has also branched off into diversifying his roles a bit more and playing more kind of roles that you'd normally associate with character actors.
Yeah,
I think he does, because he embraces that stoic virtuousness, like I was discussing a second ago. It's that very and like you were saying, that calm, level-headed approach to scenarios seemingly beyond everyone's control at first. You know, kind of jumping. You know, even if you are forced headfirst into a serious life or country threatening a situation, then you resolve it through maintaining your resolve, maintaining your calmness, your understanding and real, and knowing that you can resolve this through mediation, through teamwork, through and not panicking. He's the anti-panicker.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of, we've seen these kind of characters in people like Fred Rogers and maybe like Teddy Roosevelt and various other American dads throughout the ages.
And Captain Phillips as well, the man, he's got a real knack for really playing good real life characters, and he goes to actually meet them and like studies their mannerisms. And I think when he spoke to Sully or Captain Phillips, he just said, look, for the next few years, I'm going to be you. I am going to study you. Something along those lines. Like all the characters he's played, obviously he's played Captain Phillips, he's played James B. Donovan in Bridge of Spies, Sully, obviously Ben Bradley in The Post, you know, which Spielberg, Hanks and Streep, what a power trio.
Yeah, the Bishop of Rochester.
It's just, you know, he's just... what I'm trying to say is that he really... He's got this skill where you forget... Because sometimes when you see like a major star playing a real person back ahead, you're going, oh, look, it's him. But for him, I don't think... I'm not going, oh, look, it's Tom Hanks. I'm going, look, this is Captain Sully. This is him.
I think he's also chosen his roles very well.
Yeah.
Very intelligently. He's worked with Spielberg a number of times. Also the father, you know, the all kind of all-American father of, you know, staple Hollywood storytelling. Staple, you know, per character, you know, every man character... thrust into a situation beyond their control and navigating that.
Yeah, he's got you know,
through a very all-American heroism.
You know,
and and you're also working with people like the Wachowski siblings, and I think he's worked with most of the big greats, hasn't
he? Yeah, like I don't think he's worked with George Lucas or Scorsese, but I think he's. I don't think he's worked with Scorsese.
Has he worked with Ridley Scott?
I don't think so, to be honest.
Oh, maybe that's Spielberg is the main kind of
like he's worked. Obviously, he's worked with Sam Mendes, of course, in Road to Perdition. He's worked with obviously Robert Zemeckis, of course, in Forrest Gump.
Yeah, and
Jonathan Dime in
Philadelphia.
Oh yes, of course.
He's worked with quite a few Robert Zemeckis for quite a few projects. Hasn't
he? Obviously. Yeah, cool.
And sure, a part of that is also depending on their working relationship with the director, like what, you know, how he finds a director to work with, and the way that director instructs him and leads him as an actor. But I mean, I think he knows what makes a good
role.
Exactly, like what makes a character empathetic, what makes them compelling to watch, and he. Yeah, I guess he's not like Nicolas Cage, who will be very unfrugal with the projects he invests in.
Yeah, I just find the fact that, like, you know, even in like Frank Darabont's for Green Mile, you know, such a dark film, but it's got a very uplifting undertone to part of it. And I think the casting of Hanks, in a way, does that, because obviously Tom Hanks in the film is a prison warden on death row, but he's still got he still has this integrity about him, which I think only Hanks could have brought out, because he's an in-demand actor. You know, Bob Iger, the former Disney CEO and chairman, personally called Tom Hanks to play Walt Disney in Saving Mr. Banks, you know, the first ever like portrayal of Walt Disney, and like, you know, Bob personally called him, said, "I want you to play Walt Disney. This is what we should do." Just you know, the fact that directors want to personally call him to pitch a role. I think it just kind of shows not how undemand he is, but I think how much respect people have for him and how much they appreciate his craft.
I think so, yeah. And here's a question for you.
Okay.
Do you think he has chosen to become the wise, concerned, but also stoic, uncle figure at the right time in his career? And do you think the turning point for that was Forrest Gump? Forrest Gump being a character who learns from every situation. You know, he survives and gets through life because he learns a lesson from every scenario he finds himself in. Because if you look at his earlier roles when he was much younger, like in Big, he's still very naive, he's still discovering the world through a very innocent outlook. But then his roles of the last 10 years at least have been very focused on the wise uncle. Yeah, the person who looks at the world through sympathy and really uses every experience to heighten that wisdom.
Okay, yeah. Because if you look at his like early roles, he was very much a comedy actor, like Splash, The Money Pit, Dragnet, Turner and Hooch.
Sure.
But I think, you know, from the early 90s, you know, with roles in like Philadelphia, Apollo 13, of course, Forrest Gump, he began to be a lot more serious. Even though, like, Forrest Gump, some people say it's a drama, some people say it's a comedy. I think it's a comedic drama, because it is a very funny film, but it's also got a lot of serious messages and points to it. And I do think, in a way, you know, Philadelphia and Forrest Gump, you know, where he won the Oscars back-to-back 2 years in a row.
Which is a very special achievement in itself.
Massive achievement in itself. I think, in a way, that solidified the fact that he was a bona fide star, that he was not just a film star, but an actor with gravitas.
Yep, absolutely. And Yeah, and this is the thing, and he's had a mixture of different roles in lesser-known films as well.
Yeah.
He's worked with Eric Roth, the screenwriter, a few times, hasn't he?
Yes.
On Forrest Gump, and I'm sure there's more. But, yeah, he's... I think this is the thing, because a reason why a lot of people might not like him is that he is generally, you know, quite a typical kind of liberal in the arts, in the sense that he's not overtly political, he doesn't make his beliefs on public affairs very well known, he doesn't broadcast them much, if at all. But, you know, he'll choose specific roundtables, like the Hollywood Reporter roundtable, to talk about issues in the industry. And I think that's really helped him to embody that everyman identity really well. You know, he's not the kind of person that defines himself according to his politics. He defines himself according to the craft that he engages with and the roles that he will be able to empathize with. And he's... Yeah, and really has really consistently, attached himself to roles where, you know, which aren't necessarily inherently political, and are very much more, you know, much more about how humans interact with the world, situations they don't want to find themselves in, but how they navigate and survive them. And that's, you know, not necessarily... I mean, I guess that's a typically liberal experience, in the sense that you're you know, like, it's, you know, having that empathy with how people suffer throughout the world will, you know, more often than not make you more progressive. But he isn't overt about that.
No, he's not, like, in your face on social media all the time posting about issues. He brings them up when they're needed.
Mm, which is quite similar to Keanu Reeves, of all people. Mm, also, like, very famously private. Yeah, and...
there was a running gag, like... There should be a film about called The Nicest Men in the World. It's just Tom Hanks and Keanu Reeves just walking around, just stopping and saying hello to people. And it would be like the most wholesome film ever.
Real two popes energy. Yeah.
So just to kind of wrap things up for this episode, how do you... When, like, in the future, when Tom Hanks, like, retires at all, how do you think his career will be looked back on? Do you think he will be considered one of the greatest American actors of all time? One of the best actors of all time? One of the greatest... Like one of the best players in the industry? Or do you think, in a way, that do you think he'll continue being a cultural icon, or do you think, in a way, he might fade as other actors naturally come along?
I think he'll be a cultural icon, and I think he'll be a personal icon.
Yeah,
in the sense that what we've both been saying, he's the world's uncle. He's that nice uncle we all wish we had, and I think there's a kind of morality that he carries himself with and in his roles where a lot of people look up to that, and I think a lot of people who are looking to become the best versions of themselves, particularly young men, will look to someone like Tom Hanks and think, I want to be like that. I want to carry that compassion, that empathy, that wisdom. And hell, I mean, I'll admit, I would like to become like Tom Hanks in his kindness, his maturity, his wisdom, you know, when I'm older. Hey, well, sooner rather than later, yeah. Hopefully, but... Hey, I mean, I'll still do immature things in my 20s because that's how, people in their 20s tend to behave. But what do you think?
I think in a way Tom Hanks, because Tom Hanks has played so many iconic characters, you know, obviously Forrest Gump, Woody, I think he's an actor, he's there for all stages of your life. You know, when you're a child, it's a... Woody, of course, and then Splash. When you're a teenager, maybe Forrest Gump, Saving Private Ryan. When you're older, you've got real meaty roles like Road to Perdition, Philadelphia, obviously New to the World. Obviously, coming up, we've got Elvis. He's going to play Geppetto, of course he is. And obviously, obviously played Fred Rogers, of course, another great American icon, another famously
and
nice man.
In the new Lord of the Rings series, the Balrog. that would be something. Absolutely. And I think also to further on your point of wrapping
definitely.
Up, in terms of where this podcast is going, because now we've done the Tom Hanks episode and, you know, we can tell people about this, that we've had an episode, finally. What other things are you looking forward to discussing and producing with this podcast in the future?
Ooh, tough one. There's a lot of things I would like to do, but... the main objective I want to do is, obviously, I want to further get more guests on, try and... get a big name actor to come on it, you know, just try and coerce some like big name onto it. Even if it's just like, you know, somebody, you know, I'm not expecting like Tom Hanks on, of course, is the end game. You know, I feel like I could retire happily to get Tom Hanks.
Yeah, then we just finish. There's, you know, no other choice. We just, like, you know, the podcast ends there.
Like, your micro just explodes. But no, I getting Tom Hanks on is the end game, but like getting some big industry figures on in the next like few years would be a goal as well.
I think so. I think, I mean, that would be great if we can achieve it. I think it'd be great to discuss more serious business news in more detail, to really analyse the specifics of what's happening in the industry. Kind of like great podcasts like Strictly Business by Variety,
yes, of course,
the Screen International podcast by Screen International and Screen Daily. But also combine them with the fun that has really made this episode, this podcast, such a joy to work
Thank
with.
You.
And I think why a lot of our listeners do listen to it, things like mystery pitches, episodes like this, you know, more fun episodes. So to combine that, the serious business discussion and our interpretations of how these key business decisions are influencing the future of the industry with the fun, the creativity, the improvisation, and I think that will really solidify what the direction of Tom Hanks Defence Force will be for the foreseeable future, and really I really solidify the facts that we're open to new ideas, we're going to try and keep on channeling that creativity as much as possible, and we welcome any and all ideas from our listeners. Anything that you guys think we should do, we will certainly take it on board and consider it. And hey, we can get you on board as well.
Yeah, come on our podcast.
Absolutely. In the past 50 episodes, we've had close friends of ours who've come on, loved ones, people we don't know as well, but have been able to bond with them over the podcast. It's that openness will remain, and that shared community, and the fact that everyone is welcome to join us. That's really something that is a core part of who we are, and what we will absolutely, most definitely continue with further in the future.
Awesome. So yeah, to wrap things up, once again, thank you for 50 episodes with me, Alex. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you for listening for 50 episodes. Or if this is your first episode, welcome. There's a great back catalogue of 49 other episodes. Thank you so much. We will be back next time with more exciting, evocative thoughts and mystery pitching and all sorts in the next episode, the 51st episode of Tom Hanks Defence Force. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Tom Hanks Defence Force. Find us and join the conversation on social media.